wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
It's a Friday. You got plans for the weekend? Yeah, me too. Nothing big, though. You know, just mostly chilling and stuff. I'm Andy Griffin. Welcome to the Andy Griffin Show on this Open Line Friday. You're welcome to call in and be a part of the show. It's 673-5890. You can text me always at 435-467-5842. Mello is here as well. Good morning, Melody. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Being here. She is all in black today. I don't know. Are you mourning someone or is this just a...
Just a wardrobe option availability this morning. Please. I need to get some laundry done.
Ah, well, there is that. That's true. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Today, I got a lot to talk about today. There's some weird stories in the news that we're going to talk about. And it is even, I love talking about birthdays. I do it all morning long. There are two famous artists' birthdays. Okay, I'm going to see if Melody can name them just by sound. She's in the other room. She can't see my computer. All right, here's the first one. Easy one.
I just know that's from the Ghost movie.
Now, that guy is not, the guy that's singing, it's not his birthday. It's the other guy's birthday. In fact, I actually picked the wrong, let's see if I can, oh, here we go. Here's the other one. Okay. Here we go. Here's the other one. Oh, yeah, of course we get a commercial
first. Unchained Melody.
Yeah, that was Unchained Melody. Mm-hmm. Do you know the singer?
No.
Oh, here we go.
Righteous Brothers.
Yeah. This guy that's singing right here with the kind of the baritone voice, that is Bill Medley. Bill Medley's birthday is today.
How old is he? Is he still alive?
He is.
Oh.
He is not young. You want to hazard a guess?
I would guess he's 88. You're
trying hard. Actually, not quite that old. But let me get the exact number here. Okay, I'm going to turn it down now because I don't want to get charged for it. Bill Medley on this date. So today's his birthday. He is, where'd it go? There it is. Bill Medley is 85. You were very close.
Very close.
Very close. There's another, it's someone else's birthday today. I'm going to turn Bill down for a second in the Righteous Brothers. You may not know this one, but I was into this one. Here we go.
I went to a party last Saturday night. I didn't get late. I got in a fight.
In a world that was dominated with dudes in spandex and big hair, this girl, this female, made a name for herself invading the man's world, and I really liked her. Do you know who it is?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm guessing okay. Joan Jett, just based on the genre. I don't know.
No, it is Lita Ford.
Oh, I do.
This was her biggest solo song. She also did a duet with Ozzy Osbourne called Close My Eyes Forever. You probably remember that song. She was a guitar player and a singer, a heavy metal guitar player and
fantastic.
Singer.
Fantastic.
She was the guitar player and singer for a group called the Runaways before she went solo. So, Lita Ford. And again, I can't play more than 30 seconds or I'll get in trouble, so I just turned Lita down. Darn it. Anyway, happy birthday to Bill Medley and Lita Ford. By the way, Lita is 67 years old today.
Oh.
She's eight years older than me. So.
It's also my dad's birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Del Rey.
82 years young today.
82 years young, yes.
Nice. Yep. A couple of other birthdays. Your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon's birthday is... what is it about September 19th? There's a lot of birthdays. Trisha Yearwood, the country singer. Mm-hmm. Twiggy, remember hearing about Twiggy? It's probably a little before our time, but she was that little skinny...
Yes, I know.
One of the first supermodels.
Mm-hmm.
Super skinny Twiggy, anyway. And then Del Rey.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Marina Del Rey. Uh-oh, we just lost your sound. That was weird. You must accidentally hit a button. Did you hit a button?
No, but I think it's the cord.
You have a short?
Shorts in my cord. I will look it up above.
All right, I'm going to go over a couple of other news stories, and as always, we look for comments. I'll throw in my own comments and, of course, comments from Mello as we go through these. First story on the wire today. This one was like, what? A 22-year-old hurricane woman named Amy Barton has been arrested. She posted on Instagram a picture of a local political leader and with the caption, in all caps, I will kill you with a gun. And then she referenced ending this person's mortality. Insta actually flagged it, called the FBI. The FBI called Hurricane Police Department. When they showed up at this lady's house, she said, oh, I'd taken the post down. It's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. She was placed under arrest. She has been booked into Purgatory Correctional Facility. And Mayor Billings from Hurricane, she was not, from what I'm told, she was not the one that the picture had been posted, but they won't tell us who it was. Anyway, Mayor Billings said, I want to make it clear that threats of violence on public officials, city employees, or any member of our community have no place here. Such actions are not only unacceptable, but they also endanger the safety, trust, and well-being of our city. Barton is in Purgatory Correctional Facility right now, facing charges of, well, you know, maybe not attempted murder, but certainly threatening murder, something like that. So kind of crazy that would happen. You're still having mic problems over there? All right, you want me to turn your mic on over here? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I've got 99 problems, and a mic is one. So, yes.
Well, if you don't have enough water, you only have one problem, according to Ron Thompson. any thoughts on this? Like, so we saw last week a guy from Washington City do something that, the unthinkable, do something that we never thought anybody from Southern Utah would do something like that. And then this lady, roughly the same age, puts a threat to kill somebody with a picture of that person on Instagram. I'm having a hard time kind of resolving this in my mind, Mello. Is this in any way possibly justifiable at all?
I don't think it's justifiable, but I think part of the problem is people aren't used to accountability and responsibility for their actions. So they're used to just being able to say whatever they want and do whatever they want and then have no follow-through on what they've done, because I think that generation, I've raised a couple of those kids, there's an entitlement to some of them, not all of them, but some of them, and I think they just aren't used to being held accountable.
Let's go to, real quickly, school teachers. My dad was a school teacher, retired school teacher, and he was, I would say, a tough teacher. He taught physics and some pretty hard subjects, but he was kind of hard on, and if they weren't doing the job, he gave them an F. And that's the way it was. My sister is a school teacher right now, and she says you pretty much can't give out Fs anymore.
You can't.
I'm like, what do you mean you can't? What if they don't do the work? Well, then you give them an incomplete or a D, and you slide them through. I'm like, well, how is anybody going to learn to learn if they're not judged on if they're learning?
Right, and then they always give makeup assignments. Like, when I was a kid, those makeup assignments were hard, and you only got, like, one or two. So you could maybe squeak up to a D, but you weren't getting a B or an A if you sloughed off the whole semester. So I think that's part of it. I think they just post, and they think just their friends are going to see, and they're just going to get attention from their friends. They're not realizing that whatever you post is actually out there for everybody to see, and someone can screenshot it. It doesn't just disappear.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this lady posting on Instagram. She's like, oh, I took it down. Well, guess what? People saw it, and the officials at Instagram not only saw it, but they recorded it, took the screenshot, know exactly what she posted, and she's in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
And she should be. Yes. She should be held accountable. Maybe that's one of the things that's missing in our society right now is accountability.
I agree.
For what you do. You have these people online that were making really callous, rude comments about what happened to Charlie Kirk. And a lot of them are now being held accountable for their comments. They're losing their jobs and things like that. And they're shocked. They're like, how can you do this to me?
Right. Speech.
Yeah. You just advocated that it's okay that someone was assassinated. You're fine with that. But you lost your job for what that person said. And you lost your job for what you said. And you can't see how that's fair. It's like, what?
I know. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the woke era when you would speak out against the pronouns or you would speak out against any of the other things that were so obscure in our society that we weren't used to, and we would say something about it, then those people would get canceled.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the tides are turning, but I think more people are like collectively like, hey, we're right and wrong now. We just need to like hold people accountable.
Yeah. Accountability is one of those things. And I held my kids accountable as I was raising my kids, and to the point where it's funny. I had a friend over the other day, and I was talking. Well, you know, his 14-year-old got a phone, first time ever, and he said, "But I made her sign a contract to certain things." And I said, "Oh yeah, that we did that too. It was a really good tool." And I said, first punishment, you take away the phone for a day. Second time a week. Third time, it's permanent." He goes, yeah. I'm like, what do you mean, yeah? He goes, well, we're kind of soft on the punishment side of it. And I'm like, dude, the contract is pretty much worthless. You might as well tear it up, right, if you're not going to enforce it. I mean, what's the point?
I know. I'm terrible at following through on what I say. I'm going to tell my kids, I'm a big softy.
You say that, but this week you kind of got a little harsh, didn't you?
I was so mad. I'm so mad. So my one daughter that left, that I had to kick out, which was really hard to do. Mm-hmm. She went to stay up north with her sister, and her sister had her sign a contract that she's going to get a job and she's going to pay this amount by the end of the month. And she finally got a job. But what does she do when she's out looking for a job? What's the first thing to do to, like, boost your appearance? What should you do?
Well, you try to look as good as you can, right? You want to look as professional as you can so someone wants to hire you.
Right. No, she dyed her hair blue.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then she's like, do you want to see something? I'm like, yeah. And so I think she's like showing me her room or something. She's like, and I'm like, I'm like, what are you? Aren't you looking for a job? Why are you dyeing your hair blue? She's like, oh, I think it looks so good. It's better than the yellow that it was. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, you need to get a job. So she got a job at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And I think she just has attitude in her eyes. Like, it just comes out of her eyes. And people can tell that she thinks that she's way better than they are. And she lost her job within like 4 days.
Lost her job, meaning she got fired.
She got fired from McDonald's within 4 days up north.
How bad do you have to be to get fired from McDonald's? She calls me and she's like,
she said, my boss just sent me home early and she told me I don't have to come in tomorrow. I'm like, you're probably getting fired, so you need to go look for another job today. So what does she do? No, she waits until Saturday when she gets fired. I'm like, hey, so you just got fired. You probably need to dye your hair. She's like, what?
Make it a normal color.
Just get hired. Then let them get to know you and like you. And then maybe you could experiment with a different hair color. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can't afford to. I'm like, okay, I'm going to send you $15 for a box dye. Go dye your hair.
Do it at home. If you pay a pro, it's $200. Do it at home. $15, you're good.
Yeah, so I send her the $15.
And she did it, right?
No. I was like, so did you dye your hair? She's like, oh, actually, I need more money because I need it professionally done because it's just going to look bad. I'm like, no, sweetheart. You can afford $15 that I'm giving you to just go buy a box dye. I'm not paying $200 to get your hair fixed that you just dyed blue to sabotage yourself. So she's like, oh, okay. So then I call her a couple days later. I'm like, so how's your hair? What jobs have you applied for? She's like, I didn't dye my hair. I'm like, why not? She's like, I'm in my blue hair era. I'm like,
now, how old is this person?
22.
We're not talking about a 16 or a 14-year-old. We're talking about an adult.
Technically an adult.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? If you're not going to dye your hair, then send me back my $15. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, serious. So she sent me back the $15.
She did it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then I was feeling a little petty and upset. So I was like, what should people looking for a job not do? Maybe not watch television. So I went and changed all the passwords to Netflix, Peacock, HBO, Paramount, all the goods. So hopefully she can just scroll on TikTok. I don't know. Not my problem.
Are you paying for her phone?
Yes.
Okay, well, all
right. But only until October. October is when I'm supposed to cut it off.
Okay. Are you going to? You said you're kind of soft on those.
It's not that I'm soft, but I want her to be able to get a job, and can she get a job without a phone? I don't know. I am perplexed.
She can get a phone for about $25 a month through...
I'm only paying like $15-$20 for her phone. Oh, like on my plan.
You're enabling her.
I am aware. It's a lifelong struggle.
All right, I got a text. Let's see. When do our politicians get held accountable? There's that word for the nasty stuff that they have said and done to us as the public and to other politicians.
Mm. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I did see that new ad with the Governor Cox and his the person that's running against him. They did a collective ad together. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. No.
It was, and I didn't watch it this week. It was like a week and a half ago. But they were together talking about, hey, we're both running and we're not going to be divisive and you could vote for me or you could vote for him. It was really a nice ad.
That's good. I think we need more of that. I really feel like, and sometimes this falls on deaf ears, but politicians, instead of slamming the other person, just tell everybody what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
Lay out what your things are, and if I like you and I like what you're about, I'll vote for you. You don't need to tell me, oh, that other guy, you know, he ate at McDonald's 3 times this week, so he's fat or something. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
No?
Yeah.
Let me be the judge.
I agree. And I think the way we hold people accountable in politics is with our vote.
Yeah.
So I really think that's, and then like the city council meetings and your state representatives, like those are ways you can hold people accountable. You can make phone calls and attend meetings.
If you're not happy with the mayor of Hurricane or the mayor of St. George or the mayor of, well, I was going to say Santa Clara and Ivins, but no, they're both, those mayors are actually not running again. But you have the power to not only vote, but you have the power to, you know, do what do they call that? Grassroots movement, and get someone new in there. If you don't like, if you don't like what you see, I personally, I'm going to vote for Michelle Randall. I'm a St. George resident. I'm going to vote for her again. I think she's done a fantastic job, but that doesn't mean that I don't like Jimmy Hughes. And I'm certainly not going to sling any mud at Jimmy Hughes. I just, I feel like our mayor's been great.
So if they're doing a great job, let them keep going with the momentum they've got, right? I'm Santa Clara, so.
Now, do you know who the Santa Clara mayor candidates are? I'm sorry to put you on the spot. It's not Rick Rosenberg.
But I don't know if that, I don't know.
Yeah, well, as we get closer, and by the way, we're about a month and a half from the election. As we get closer, we're going to have mayoral candidates and some city council candidates on the show as well. Here's another story, Mello, from northern Utah. This one, I just, okay, we thought, we want to hold our kids accountable, right? There are a lot of ways to hold them accountable, but I'm not sure this is the right one. There was a traffic accident on the freeway yesterday in Linden. That's Utah County. When they went to inspect and see if a semi-truck was involved, this driver gets out of the truck, and he's okay. His name is Jacob Scott, and he's okay. And they say, well, we need to inspect your truck. He had a refrigerator box trailer behind him. And he's like, no, it's fine. And no, we need to take a look at it. And we need to open up, make sure everything's okay. He's like, no, it's fine. Well, they open up the trailer, the refrigerator trailer. And inside the trailer, a refrigerated trailer, is Scott's 12 and 14-year-old daughters. In the refrigerator they estimated it was between 35 and 45 degrees.
Those were his daughters? Yeah. I didn't know that
they
part.
They were his daughters.
Why were they in there?
I don't know.
They were fighting?
Punishment?
I heard it was child trafficking.
No, it wasn't child trafficking. No, that is completely not true. It was his daughters. They have not gone public with the reason why those girls were back there. The imagination goes, okay, he was mad at them. Maybe they were riding in the front with him. He got mad at him, made him get in the back. Maybe they were fighting. Maybe they were like, Dad, we want to try this. And Dad was like, okay, you know, whatever. But anyway, bad decision by Mr. Scott. He is now in jail, being charged with aggravated child abuse for those girls being in the trailer. Yeah, that's really cold.
Oh my gosh! I remember when I was a kid and me and my siblings would fight. My parents said, "We don't want any contention in our home, so you guys can go outside and finish your fight."
Really?
And we would have to go out in the garage or out on the back porch, and then when we were done fighting, then we could come back in. But no fighting in the house.
Really? Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, especially, well, you weren't in St. George then, right?
No.
Because if you put them out in, maybe that would be child abuse if you put them out in 110 degrees when they're, go outside. No, it's hot. Well, I don't care.
When you're done fighting, you can come back in, right?
Yeah, well, that would end a fight in a big hurry.
It did.
We had something when I had two boys that are very close together age-wise, 15 months apart, Dallas and Bryce, and we had something called the argument shirt. It was a shirt my size. But we would make them both get in the shirt, sharing the neck hole, and one would get one armhole and the other would get the other armhole. And they, as long as they were fighting and being contentious, we would stick them in the argument shirt, and they would have to sit there in the shirt together until the argument was over.
Oh my gosh. When my kids would fight, I used to make them give each other three compliments, and it couldn't be you have nice hair or you have nice eyes. They had to find three nice things to say about each other when they were fighting.
That would, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see the kids going, well, she's not as ugly as I thought she would be, or something like that.
There were some amusing things that were said, but
well, you know, the way we punished our kids. I don't know. We had a thing. So one of my big things, I really hated this, because I had an older brother that used to do this to my mom. Smart mouth to mom. And so if I caught my kids smarting off to their mom, that's what we call it, smarting off. I don't know what talking back to mom. I would actually get a bar of soap, and I would make them suck on a bar of soap for 30 to 60 seconds, depending on how bad the offense was. Now, I'm told this, I don't know if this is an urban legend or if this is real, but somebody, I read somewhere that a child died after having eaten soap. and that parents should never do this to children.
Really?
And so, and then I had a, and this was recently, and the soap incidents were probably 20 years ago, but mm-hmm. I had a little flash of remorse and guilt, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I don't know, Mello.
I don't know.
Was that over the line?
I don't know. When you're really frustrated, there's never a good answer. And the first couple kids are guinea pigs anyway, so yeah, you just kind of got to learn.
You know, it's funny because I was pretty proud of my number two and number three boys because they were pretty obedient kids. We didn't need the argument shirt much or the soap much, but when they were both into adulthood, I'm like, you know, you guys were pretty good kids. How come you were pretty good and, you know, like that? And, mm-hmm. and they both said, well, we watched our older brother and whatever he did, we did the opposite of that. And that's what we, cause he knows he knows how to push your buttons. He said, we didn't want to push your buttons. We wanted to be in the good graces.
And I think that's, I think there's truth in that because I had an older sister that was a hellion, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw everything she put my folks through, and I'm like, that's not happening to me. But I also would say the opposite of that is that as you get through the first couple of kids, you're not as angry about as many dumb things that you would have been.
That's true.
So I think you're just that's a little true. More.
There is a memorial, by the way, this Sunday for Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad that he's dead, but I got to tell you, there is some really good things happening out of what's happened here. His Turning Point charity is 10 times the size that it was before he died. This funeral, this memorial service for Charlie is going to be held at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Holds 63,000 people.
Nice.
President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio are all going to speak at his memorial service.
Wow.
It's awful, awful that he passed away and what happened to him, but it seems like something good is starting to come out of it.
Did you hear that his wife has taken over? She's mm-hmm. going to be the new CEO?
Yeah, I've been talking about that mm-hmm. on the air today. I even have a soundbite if we want to play it later, but, you know, the irony of this Robinson kid that texted his roommate and said, I had to put an end to the Charlie Kirk's hatred. Well, how did he put an end to it? Mm-hmm. He used hate and killed the man. Like he's doing exactly what he set out to do. He's doing that himself. It's mm-hmm. like, it's unbelievable. But what's coming out of it though is I hope a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
I do too. I see that people are, they've just awakened a whole bunch more people that are going to, be like Charlie Kirk is what they've done.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. And I'm glad. I'm not glad he's gone, obviously, but I am glad that people are finally starting to wake up and go, wait a minute, mm-hmm. this isn't right.
Yeah, something good can come out of something that's very tragic.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Jimmy Kimmel and free speech and something besides free speech that actually factors into all this. When we come back, we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. If you have something to say today, we'd love to hear from you. 673-5890 is the phone number. If you just kind of need to vent or let it out, go for it. 673-5890. Some of you would prefer to text me. Certainly welcome to at 467-5842. That's 435-467-5842. I'm Andy. Mello is here too. She is pretty much every Friday.
Yeah.
Not two Fridays ago, but last Friday she was.
Yep. I'll be here for a little bit. I'm going on a cruise. Which I'm
really?
Excited about.
Where are you going?
Cabo San Lucas.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cabo Wabo. Nice.
I know. I'm excited.
Cool. I just went on one to the Bahamas, so I'm not one to talk, but I want to go again.
You do?
It's so fun.
Okay.
I've become a cruise
aficionado.
Yes.
Aficionado.
Yes. I think they're pretty awesome. I will say this. I'm going to say it right out. I don't think Carnival is the best cruise if you're an older person.
That's where I'm going on. Don't say that.
A lot of kids, a lot of drinking.
Oh, I have a lot of kids that are coming.
If you're taking kids, it's okay.
Okay.
But if you're there as an older person, not with kids, you're going to run into a lot of kids. They have like one section that is adults only, a pool and stuff, and it's jam-packed because other adults want to get away from the kids, too.
Right.
So, plus they have the free ice cream all over the ship, and so kids are always running around getting free ice cream
really?
Cones. Oh, yeah.
That would be so fun for the kids.
I will say this. I've been on 3 or 4 different cruise lines. Carnival had the best food.
Oh,
so okay. There is that. I just didn't like the fact that there were kids and drunk people everywhere. Mm. So, and we did sail out of New Orleans, which kind of right there says, you know, there's going to be drunk people everywhere. Because New Orleans, I'm convinced the entire city of New Orleans is drunk all the time. Like 11 a.m. on, the whole city's drunk.
Yeah, I have not been. I don't know.
So that'll be fun. I would like to try. I have never been on Virgin Cruises, which is adults only, 18 only. 18 and older only. So that kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, that should be the next one.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe, well, I'm not going to say when, but hopefully soon. Do not, though, go to a theme park and ride a roller coaster, at least not in, not this one out in Orlando. A man died Wednesday after riding Stardust Racers, a new roller coaster at Universal's Epic Universe theme park. Here's the part that is troubling to me. They didn't discover he was dead until the ride was over, and they determined after autopsy that he died of blunt force trauma.
What?
They don't know why or how or what.
Was there somebody behind him that maybe punched him in the head?
They don't know. They don't. They're saying, yeah, they took him off, and they, you know, he was found unresponsive. Nobody saw anything.
Who was he with? Who was riding with him?
Doesn't say.
Oh, I want the answers.
Man in his 30s. Found unresponsive on the ride. He was taken to the hospital, pronounced dead. An autopsy revealed that he died of blunt force trauma. So, I mean, if you start thinking about it, first of all, you're right. If you go on a roller coaster, first of all, you're riding with someone usually. And even if you're not riding with someone, the whole thing's full of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to see something. Maybe he was in the last car. I guess it's possible.
I have so many questions. And they usually have, like, video cameras.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In this day and age of cameras everywhere, how come nobody saw what happened?
Yeah, they had to have had a camera because they also, like, take your picture through it so you can buy them later.
So there are comments online speculating what might have happened. One of them was what you said. Maybe somebody struck him while he was riding. Maybe a bird flew by. This roller coaster that he was on gets 62 miles an hour. It goes pretty fast. They're thinking maybe a bird. Maybe he wasn't secured all the way in his head.
Oh, bump up, up.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, it's a new ride, so they're
terrifying.
You would think they, you know, the engineers would figure everything out so someone wouldn't die, but I just am like,
Dad.
Really? He's dead and they don't know? And nobody has a picture or a video? So I have a feeling we're going to hear more on this story, but because this just happened yesterday, Wednesday, at Epic Universe Theme Park in Orlando.
Jeez.
So, all right, let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel for a second. Mm-hmm. Late night talk show was doing terrible in the ratings. Just nobody watches it. And I had Rory O'Neill from NBC News Radio on earlier today, and he said that nobody watches late night talk shows anymore. It's kind of gone passe. And you know, back in the 90s, late night talk, everybody watched them.
Yeah. I
mean, you know, you had Jay Leno and David Letterman and everybody every night. And before that, I was a huge Johnny Carson fan. But they're not being watched anymore. And I theorized, I didn't tell this to Rory, but I said one of my theories for that is that they all got really political.
I agree.
And nobody wants to be told how to think politically. And most of them were quite liberal, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the big problems. But anyway, so Kimmel was canceled. The very same people who were saying it was good that Charlie Kirk was murdered are saying now, oh, you're stifling free speech by canceling Jimmy Kimmel. These are the same people.
Mm-hmm.
They are condoning murder, but, boy, you can't stifle Jimmy Kimmel. I'm like, what? What are you doing? Come on, people.
I know.
But Rory was explaining to me that basically, the people that own Jimmy Kimmel's production company are applying for a certain merger with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission, which is an arm of the federal government, Donald Trump, conservative, doesn't like that Jimmy Kimmel and some of the others are on the air, and Rory theorized that maybe this has to do with if we cancel him, maybe they're more likely to be approved on this merger.
It's always a business decision.
Yeah, there's a lot of bigger things going on out there that we don't even realize, I think.
There's also a lot of people that are tired of the rhetoric that it's okay that somebody was murdered. It's never okay, even if they're not a great person, that they're murdered.
No.
So I think people are just really sick and tired of it, and the businesses are realizing that, like with the Cracker Barrel, you know, with their little...
Yeah, their logo thing.
Their logo change. Like, people are responding with their wallets.
Do you... Let me ask you this question. This is a theoretical question, and but suppose somebody, as they were transporting Tyler Robinson, the man who is accused and basically confessed of killing Charlie Kirk, suppose as they're transporting him, somebody does a Jack Ruby on him. Somebody, a vigilante, goes and shoots Tyler Robinson. How would you feel about that? How would we as conservatives feel about that?
I still think that's wrong. I think everybody deserves due process and let the court systems. And I think that leaves a lot of unanswered questions for the families. And I think you're taking that opportunity away to maybe have some more closure.
Okay. What about, I'm going to continue on with this hypothetical.
You're going to go higher and higher. Okay.
What about if he's found guilty, he gets sentenced to death, and on the way to the wherever they're going to execute him, and I think they actually do it right there in the prison, so this is way hypothetical, but on the way, somebody kills him before he can be executed. Then what?
I still think that you should just leave it up to the system. I don't think people should take the law into their own hands ever on either side.
Okay.
I just really don't.
Then could we then apply that and say, well, then why is the state killing someone if people aren't allowed to kill someone? And again, this is I think people got the wrong idea last week when I was talking about this. I am not anti-capital punishment. I believe that Tyler Robinson should be put to death for what he did. I agree with it. But I'm hypothetical. I'm a little devil's advocate here,
right?
What if somebody else killed him before he could be executed? Is that okay? And you say no.
I don't think so. I think that, and I understand what you're saying. You're saying then why is it okay for the state to kill him if a person can't kill him?
Right.
I think maybe it's done with like checks and balances in place. It's not just somebody with a gun.
But he's already been found guilty. So they're going to execute. He's on his way to be executed and somebody kills him.
Here's another like kind of spiritual side to it, right?
Okay.
I also think that while people are in jail, they kind of have time to reflect on what they've done and maybe come to terms with their sins, if you want to call them sins, whatever you want to call them. And then they have a chance to, and I don't think murder is really something you're going to totally be forgiven for, but at least kind of work through that process.
Right.
And it robs him of that opportunity too, to kind of reflect and go back and see what he's done and how he's affected all these lives and maybe change his view or maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's taking away opportunities for other people. I think everybody should have an opportunity to grow and learn.
And we've already talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but then you go to the Ralph Menzies case. Here's a guy who admitted and was convicted of kidnapping and killing a woman 39 years ago. First of all, way too long to be on death row. But now they're saying because he has dementia, he doesn't know that he did it. He doesn't even know who he is. Mm-hmm. So the state shouldn't kill him anymore because he doesn't know.
But that's really hard.
Yeah.
That is a hard one because I could see both sides of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a failure of the justice system to keep him in that system for 39 years with all the appeals. But, I mean, I think there are ways that they can do it that he's not going to even realize what's happening. You know what I mean? Like injection.
You're right.
Like, hey, we're going to go to lethal injection and then...
But he chose. They let him... You get to choose when you're being executed. You get to choose what fashion you're being executed. He chose firing squad. He already chose it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and you're going to know that's happening, right? Even if you have dementia.
That is... Well, maybe they should change the method. Of execution.
I think there are 5 states left in the U.S. that still do firing squad as one of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the problems they've had lately is they've had problems getting a hold of the particular drug they use for lethal injection. There's been a shortage. And so, you know, with this Tyler Robinson guy, he might get the death penalty if he does, and they don't have those drugs available. Do you execute him otherwise? We don't have an electric chair anymore.
Well, I think that's a very inhumane way to go.
Electric chair?
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I don't like that at all.
You ever watch The Green Mile?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies.
Yes, yeah. It's been eons, so I don't remember anything about it.
Just make sure you get the sponge wet. That's all I'm saying. All right, we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, can we take a couple of minutes? Show's almost over, to brag about our dads. My dad is 90 and still swims three times a week. He swims like a third of a mile three times a week. Which,
wow.
I mean, it's laps. He's not actually in a lake swimming that far straight, but it, I mean, that's pretty cool. And your dad having a birthday today, 82 years old.
Mm-hmm. And he walks every morning.
What a stud.
Yeah.
What a stud. You can ask, it's funny, they always ask you, and they had a dinner this past week for people that are 100 or older in the state of Utah, which was really cool. They honored them, but they kept asking people, what's your secret to longevity? And I know if you asked my dad, I'd be like, I don't know. I'm still here. And they actually asked this lady, I think her name was Wanda or something. They asked her, what's your secret to longevity? And she said, well, I deserve to live this long.
Oh, it's just mindset. Okay.
I deserved it. Sure. So if we were to ask your dad, and we're not asking him right now, but if we were to ask him, does he have a thing that he does, a secret, that something that he's like, this is why I'm doing well?
I think it's a lot about mindset, and I think he does a lot of giving. I think he takes care of other people and finds purpose in being a good friend, and he's super funny. If you want to hear a dad joke, just talk to him for three minutes.
He and I, when he and I got together, it was a pun mania.
It was
awesome. What do you mean terrible? This text is for you. I'm reading it live here, so who knows?
I'm so scared.
Mellow, we almost sold our home, but refinanced instead, paid off debt, and have $200,000 equity left. Payment went down from $1,400 to $1,800. That doesn't make sense. Maybe
from 18 to 14, maybe.
Well, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Probably what it means, but it's not what it is. Anyway, was refinancing the wiser choice? Do you think selling would have been better in this market? We paid off two cars, three credit cards, and still have cash, remodel the house, and even perhaps buy a boat. To me, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a Dave Ramsey fan, so I think that was a good choice.
Oh,
I do.
Except that Dave Ramsey is still sticking with pay your house off as soon as you can, and I disagree with him 100% because I have a 2.8% loan, and I can make way more than that on the money that I would use to pay it off in the stock market.
Yeah, so. I think that people just, if you need to move and you want to move, you should move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever you're selling at, you're going to be purchasing at, so it's going to be the same powers. It's hard when you have a 2.9 or a 3% interest rate to want to move, and I ended up doing a HELOC and remodeling instead of moving.
Nice.
Just because I couldn't get the same house for the cost.
We had an interesting experience with my stepmother. We had suggested with my stepfather, with my father-in-law passing away, my stepmother-in-law, we had suggested she reverse mortgage the house. She's 75, has a ton of equity in the house. We're like, yeah, you should
reverse mortgages are great.
And she said, no, reverse mortgages are for poor people. I was like, wait, what?
I don't think that's true. I think that reverse mortgages have come a long way. They have changed. They're a lot better than they used to be. And it's a great option. I don't want to say it's for poor people, but it does help people that are on a fixed income have
which
a little bit more money.
Which we all are when we're retired,
right,
probably.
Right. Yeah. So, I want to pay off my house.
Do you?
I do.
Even though, did you get in on the low interest rates back in the day?
So I have a first, which is at 2.9. Mm-hmm. So that payment is $967 a month.
Yeah.
But then I did the remodel because it was either that or I was going to move to like a $700,000 house and my payment would have been like $3,400 to $4,500.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, what if I just go ahead and do the refi? Then I can fix everything. But then my refi budget blew up from like $75,000 to $175,000. So now my payment is gnarly. So I'm selling houses like crazy because I got to keep that payment done.
It's one of those deals. I feel really blessed. I've had my wife has been very, very budget conscious our whole lives, and with the idea that when we get close to retirement, like we're getting now, that we're okay, and as it turns out, we're going to be all right.
I think that's amazing.
But it is tough. I mean, if you see something that needs to be done or fixed, you're like, I'm going to go ahead and get it alone. Or
yeah, it was hard because the roof had a hole in it. Mm-hmm. So we had to do the roof. The bathroom didn't have any barrier. It had mold, so we had to replace the whole shower. Like, things kind of happen, and luckily I had that money available. So.
Yeah, we had a deal kind of like that. We had a flood, and we had a water heater that stopped working.
Oh.
And $10,000 later...
I know.
And that's a small one compared to what you were dealing with.
Yeah. So. I do recommend home warranties, though. I love my home warranty. I actually had a problem with my washing machine, and they came out for, like, my $95 copay, and they're going to be fixing all the stuff, and that's all it cost me.
That's pretty cool.
So.
Yeah, I have not ever purchased one of those, but I have been thinking seriously about it because people like you and a couple of the people I know are like, yeah, my dishwasher broke or my washer or whatever broke. There was something wrong with the plumbing, and guess what?
I know. I actually had my whole HVAC system replaced, and it's on my roof.
Wow.
And I think I paid about...
So they had to go out there and fix it.
No, they replaced it. They took the old one off and put the new one on. And I've had two water heaters replaced. And I could have had a refrigerator replaced if I'd remembered I had the home warranty.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about things like home warranty is kind of like insurance. Yes, you have to have something go wrong in order to make it worthwhile. But, boy, when something goes wrong and you have that, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a fixed income.
Yeah. So, anyway, again, salute to our dads, Del Rey, whose 82nd birthday today. Mm-hmm. If you see him or you know him or you just want to wish him a happy birthday, go for it.
Taking him to lunch today.
Nice. Yes. Now, where does Dad like to eat?
He likes to go to Outback, but a funny story is every time we go to meet him at Outback, he ends up at Olive Garden. I don't know why. And so we're like, Dad, where are you?
Not even close to each other.
I think my mom used to like Olive Garden. I don't know. He just goes, I'm like, Dad, where are you? He's like, I'm at the Olive Garden. I'm like, no. We're going to Outback. You just said Outback. Come over to Outback. So that's our standing joke with him. He's probably going to be mad I shared that, but it's funny.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, my dad likes Costa Vida. It's his favorite place to go. He just loves that place.
Yeah.
In fact, if we can't decide where to go or if he's just on his own, he's like, I'm going to Costa Vida. That's just his go-to.
I love it because they have a drive-thru for Costa Vida.
Oh, yeah, but...
Oh my gosh! I'd love to get the drive-through.
I went to the drive-through once, and spent a half an hour in that stupid thing.
No way! I have not.
In fact, we watched people go in, eat, and come back out and leave while we were still sitting in the drive-through.
Oh my word! So that's funny.
And a note about, and we're almost out of time. Note about Olive Garden. My wife won't let me go there.
Why?
Because she says I cannot comprehend how anybody would spend $20 for something I could make for 99 cents at home. And I'm like. But it's good.
It's so good.
They're garlic. They're garlic sticks. Oh,
but when you order there, you can also take it to go home, and you can order it, and it's just like a couple dollars more. I think it's like $7 or $8, and it's a bigger portion, and then you can take it home. So then you're kind of getting your money's worth.
Were you here when we had a Fazoli's here? Have you ever been to Fazoli's?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, Fazoli's is kind of like Italian food. Cafe Rio style. Like, you get in line, you get your food, and you go sit down, and then they have some girl, this magic lady, walking around the waiting room, the dining room, with a basket full of breadsticks.
Oh.
And, like, man, I don't know why Fazoli's didn't make it here, but I want it back. That place is amazing.
There you go.
So.
Check it out.
Yeah, Fazoli's. Okay. The text said, thank you. You made me feel a bit better about what we did, and our payment did go up. Oh, it went up, not down. Okay. Mm. From 14 to 18, which wasn't
that
much.
That was correct.
Yeah. And now we don't have any car payments, credit card payments at all, just a house payment, so we can take extra money and put it in the bank. You know what? If you ended up saving money, consolidating all that, and you're paying less, the only bad thing, and Dave Ramsey might say this, he would say, well, you just financed a car that's going to be gone in 3 to 7 years for 30 years. Is that what you wanted to do?
So. Right. You just have to do what's right for you. And Dave Ramsey has a lot of great advice, but in the end, it's your family. And, like, I'm not going to sell my stocks to pay off my debt. Sorry, Dave.
We're out of time. I will be on the air tonight, Snow Canyon, Pineview, at 7. About 10 to 7 we'll be on the air. Mello's actually going to be pushing the buttons on that one, and I might talk to you a little bit during the game if I'm alone. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Monday.
Thanks.